Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Bell et al. Titled, Aromatase Transgenic Upregulation Modulates Basal Cardiac Performance and the Response to Ischemic Stress in Male Mice. This article published in the May 1, 2014 issue as part of our call for papers on sex differences in cardiovascular physiology. My guests today are guest editor Virginia Miller, lead author Lee Delbridge, and expert Frederick Naftalin. Let's get started.
Welcome, everybody. And this is always an exciting time to talk about a paper and topic that is on the minds of all of us, identifying more specific cardiac function between men and women, or males and female animals, to improve health outcomes and reduce the disparities which now exist in cardiovascular disease. So, Lee, why don't you give us a little insight as to what made you raise this question about the conversion of testosterone and the role of aromatase in the heart?
Thanks, Virginia. Well, I guess our interest in aromatase was first prompted by the clinical findings. We've known for a long time, based on observational studies of premenopausal and postmenopausal women, that there has been a conventional view that estrogen is cardioprotective. And then the randomized clinical trials with HRT didn't show that supplemental estrogen was beneficial for women. Anyway, this started us thinking about whether part of the ambiguity in the findings was about how much estrogen in the heart muscle, rather than in the vasculature, there might be, and what variables there might be in regulating local myocardial estrogen availability. We wondered if, as well as availability of ovarian steroids, the local conversion of testosterone to estrogen might be important. So as a starting point, we were able to demonstrate at both the messenger level and the protein level that aromatase is expressed in the heart. And now in this paper, we have looked at the response to ischemia in isolated hearts of aromatase overexpressing transgenic mice. And in this setting where the estrogen to testosterone balance is elevated, we found that the contractile recovery after ischemia is reduced in the male hearts and that there is more reperfusion arrhythmia activity.
So, Fred, you've been investigating aromatase first in the brain, and what do you think of these approaches?
I think that it's a very useful approach. Do you know whether the upregulation is total body as one would expect it, or is there some kind of hot spot?
This is a global transgenic, so aromatase levels are upregulated in all tissues where expression is prominent.
Lee, since this was something that was done embryonically, do you think there are any structural differences in the hearts?
That's a really good question. We have not done any microanatomical analyses of these hearts, but they just look remarkably normal.
The transgenics, I would guess whether they're female genetically or male genetically, they are receiving an excess of estrogen because of local aromatization. The rat and the mouse are born during organogenesis. Organogenesis generally in most species goes between day 15 and day 35. Rats and mice are born on day 21, 22. So they're in the midst of organogenesis when these things are decided.
Yes, I think that that is a really interesting area of contemplation, Fred. In particular, in the heart, we and others have shown that the influences on growth in rodents in that early perinatal period is very important, and it sets the scene for the capacity of the heart later on to respond to stresses. And it puts an upper limit on the number of cardiomyocytes that are available to support our heart growth and function for the rest of the animal's life. So I think that using this model to look in the early neonatal stage really offers some exciting prospects. One of the interesting things that we have found with this transgenic model is the effect on AKT expression. Estrogen is known to modulate AKT expression, and in the transgenic, this is elevated. And AKT is a pro-survival signaling intermediate. So we think that this is probably important in determining the cell viability in the early neonatal period and throughout life. So tracking that could yield very interesting information.
Lee, do you have any idea of where the aromatase is in the heart?
Well, we've shown that the aromatase expression in the whole heart is there, but what we don't know yet is which cell types might be expressing that aromatase. And we're currently working towards finding an answer to exactly what cell type is producing the aromatase using molecular tools that will allow us to visualize the aromatase expression.
Is estrogen elevated in these animals?
The initial characterization of the model has shown that the estrogen levels are increased in the plasma.
This is an important experiment to do, not only for its own sake, but to be sure that the experiments offer the chance for the aromatase to work as aromatase as we think of it, or otherwise perhaps as a demethylase. As I looked at the paper, I didn't see a source of androgen, so I'm not sure whether what you saw was due to estrogen or whether it was due to the aromatase.
I think in the acute experiments that we did, where we're perfusing the hearts with a crystalloid buffer, what we're really observing is the functional outcome of a long-term modeling effect of increased aromatase expression on shaping the heart and modifying its functional responses.
So there's a lot of interest in aromatase and testosterone supplementation and conversion, both in men and women. How do you see this sort of playing out in terms of some of the negative effects that have resulted with testosterone use in men, and whether this aromatase may be actually a potential target to benefit cardiac function in postmenopausal women?
We think that the most interesting areas to develop with clinical or therapeutic potential are looking at short-term interventions that target aromatase. I think that it may be important to explore whether short-term manipulation of the androgen to estrogen conversion immediately after a myocardial infarct might have some role in optimizing the functional outcomes. If it's an acute intervention that shifts the balance in the heart between androgen and estrogen to get a short-term inotropic outcome, and then later on a long-term cell survival or energy-sparing effect, that could be very valuable for both males and females.
If I may, I just would like to try to embroider a little bit about what Lee just touched on, and it is the issue of whether this is aromatase acting as aromatase and whether it's aromatase acting as a detoxifier of androgen or a manufacturer of estrogen. In the case of the heart, as Lee said so nicely, there are a lot of actions of aromatase and aromatase products that one has to consider. For example, we've kept the discussion actual rather than theoretical, but in fact, the positive inotropic agents, the digitalis congeners, are well known to interact with the estrogen receptors and are SERMs. So one would have to somehow consider the possibility that in some ways what Lee is doing is mimicking putting estrogen agonists, in this case, into the system by having the factory there.
I think that Fred's raised some really interesting points there about digitalis type action of estrogens, and it's really quite consistent with what we've found in these hearts. And one of the things that we see is an unexpected arrhythmic action in the reperfusion period in the transgenic males. And it is possible that a digitalis-like action impacts on the combined handling of calcium and sodium in these cardiomyocytes, and that predisposes them more to arrhythmic activity.
I dug out a paper on the positive inotropic effect of estrogen on CGRP. It's in the American Journal of Physiology last year, and it's estrogen augmenting this important protein.
Yes, that was a very interesting paper to read, Fred. I thought that the aromatase generation of estrogen is very likely to have a role in modifying myocardial responses to various other mediators exhibiting inotropic effect. And your finding about CGRP is interesting, as it more than reverses the usual negative inotropic effect of estrogen. Another interesting paper recently has been the observation that estrogen differently influences the responses of male and female cardiomyocytes to sildenafil via a second messenger intermediate. And both of these observations with sildenafil and with CGRP highlight the fact that it's necessary to examine male and female myocardial responses to inotropic agents in the lab before moving to clinical investigations, so we know what mechanistic differences we can expect to find.
So I would have a question for both of you to sort of weigh in on, and that's the use of aromatase inhibitors in the clinical practice. How do you think that these compounds might affect cardiac function or other functions when used long-term or even short-term?
I personally have been quite amazed at how little general effect the aromatase inhibitors have had. They cause some symptoms, but they don't stop proliferation as much as I had expected. They don't cause the loss of bone at the rate that I would have expected.
The effects of the aromatase inhibitors in women with long-term administration has been relatively modest. So one aspect of that is that we think the prospect for introducing it for cardiovascular potential benefit in an acute setting may be more feasible because they're not shown to have marked toxicity. So that's a promising thing, I think, for use of these inhibitors for a cardiovascular purpose.
Fred, I want to just get back to you for one question here that I'd like a perspective of how you've seen this field evolve and where you see it's going.
We began to do our work longer than I want to remember, and it was about brain differentiation. We were trying to understand brain sexual differentiation. This was because of local formation of estrogen, since there was this alpha fetal protein that was straining out the estrogen that was made systemically in males. And so testosterone, which wasn't bound by the alpha fetal protein, could get into the brain and then could be converted to estradiol. We began to study the hypothesis by dissecting the hypothalami of mid-trimester pregnancy termination fetuses, and we saw the presence of aromatase quite widely in the brain. In general, the amount of aromatase that's present is small enough compared to the gonads that it's during reproductive life, it probably plays a relatively secondary role unless it is acting as aromatase. When the gonads start to peter out, one has to then think about local formation. And here we have a finding that's very consistent, that is that males have, I'd say, about 50% more aromatase than females in every tissue that we've studied. And this includes the presence of aromatase in synaptosomes. So the end of neurons, that the particularly the axonal end, contains a small estrogen factory. In my mind, I think that it raises a very serious issue about whether aromatase can act as an agent on its own. And as I mentioned, it's a demethylase. And so it would be possible that it interferes with dopamine metabolism. And if you had enough aromatase present, you might clear dopamine at an unusual rate and have secondary neurologic effects. In the heart, you have, of course, the normal vagal neural innervation, but you also have a lot of vasovasorum, and you have nervi vasorum there. And it's not unreasonable to think that possibly some of the effects you're seeing have to do with aromatase acting on the nerves that are regulating the vessels and other parts of the heart in that way.
I think Fred's perspectives on potential neurotransmitter involvement in mediating an effect of aromatase in the heart is very interesting. I think in the experimental setting that we used in this paper, where the hearts are isolated, so they're denervated, that may be relatively reduced if there is an effect. But going back into the in vivo setting will help us to determine a possible interaction with neurotransmitter release. I think it's pretty exciting that aromatase has such a diversity of actions, and it really just highlights the fact that it's a much more important enzyme than just one that converts androgens to estrogens, and there's a lot more investigation to do.
I would like to thank both of you, Fred and Lee, for taking time to participate in this podcast. And I think what should come out of this for everybody listening is to really emphasize how little we know about what the sex steroids do in males and females. We have to get back to the basic physiology. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.